Yeah, obviously just there at the end of the World Cup, I kind of felt the time was right to move on, I suppose, and prioritise other things in my life. But look, I don't really have any regrets from retiring. It wasn't an easy decision, but at the same time, it wasn't too hard to make either.
Well, we'll go back and then we'll talk about the World Cup and retiring and so on. But go back to your youth and, you know, what games did you play while living in Fawn and outside Buncrana?
Yeah, well, look, I suppose it was kind of knowing that I played numerous sports in the area, and fair play to the likes of Manus O'Donnell and the school teachers there in Leavemurra. But handball, camogie, GAA, like any sport really, you know, I just loved playing sport, that was it.
And were you good at sport at that stage?
Well, I enjoyed it. That's the main thing.
Well, that's a good point, that it is the main thing. And okay, you didn't obviously get a chance to play rugby at that stage.
No, well, there wasn't really any rugby clubs, I suppose, in Donegal, and City of Derry was the nearest one, but it just wasn't really an option for me as a child. So yeah, rugby definitely came later on in life, and it was more, I just wanted to try something new, having come back from a stint of travelling, and before I made any commitments to any teams back in Ireland. So rugby happened to come along at that stage.
Well, before that, you obviously excelled in Gaelic football. What club were you playing with when you made the Donegal team that won the All-Ireland Intermediate Championship?
I was actually in Dublin, so I played with Na Fianna in Dublin. That would have been kind of the only senior rugby I would have played. When I was in Donegal, I played a bit with Buncrana, and then Neavore or St Mirrors as well. Would have been for kind of the earlier days.
So you won an All-Ireland medal with Donegal, living in Dublin. So how did you get into the rugby?
Yeah, it was kind of by chance, really. I was playing a bit of tag rugby as a social day out with work, and one of the players in the opposite team was a coach in Old Belvedere, so he just asked me if I'd fancy giving proper rugby a try, and that was it. Now, well, it took me a while to build up the confidence to go down. You know, it's a completely new sport, and just even trying to learn the rules was a task in itself, never mind trying to play the game. But as soon as I went down to my first training session, I just loved it. It was completely different than any sport I played, and yeah. Love the freedom, I suppose, of just getting the ball in your hand and just going for it.
And when did you decide that out half was going to be your position?
I got my first cap for Ireland on the wing, and when I first started playing rugby, I just would play anywhere in the back line, but 10, you kind of need to know a bit more about the game. So I went to the World Cup in 2010, and when we came back from that, a load of people retired, just like myself, I suppose. And our two outhalves had retired from the team. So when we came into training for Six Nations in 2011, I stepped forward and kind of decided, yeah, this is where I want to play. So I was actually playing 10 for Ireland before I played 10 for my club, which is a bit of, you know, the wrong way round. But I had plenty of people in the team who, you know, had the experience and coached me through it. Like Lynn Cantwell, who's at 13, was a great asset. Tanya Rosser was another one at scrum half. So they definitely taught me an awful lot and helped me with decision-making in those early years. And then, yeah, as soon as I went into that position, I knew I found where I loved to play in the rugby pitch.
And what part of playing number 10 do you like best?
I think you at 10, you're involved in everything that happens in the rugby pitch, really. And I guess, like, even when I played other sports, I was always midfield, and, you know, you're right in amongst the thick of things. When I was on the wing for Ireland, it just didn't suit me. You know, I had no interest. Well, first of all, I didn't think I was fast enough to be an international winger. But you're on the end of things, waiting. You know, you have to wait and then try and put the finishing touches and score the tries. Whereas at 10, it's all about pulling the strings and trying to get the team in the right areas of the park and make the right decisions for them.
Well, it seemed to have worked out well, and the selectors were obviously quite happy with you playing it at 10, because they put you on the Irish team on 50 occasions.
Yeah, I think so, and I think, you know, anyone who knows me would say my temperament is quite mellow and I can keep a cool head when pressure comes on you and things like that. And I suppose that was a huge contribution that I brought to the team as well, being able to just stay calm when you're getting tries and whatnot.
What were the highlights of your 50 games playing for Ireland?
I suppose, you know, when you look at successes, you have to look at the 2013 Grand Slam. That was certainly just, it was fantastic memories made over the course of that journey. And, you know, the Irish team hadn't won anything really up until then. And never mind, we hadn't even beaten England. So to do it all in 1 year and then come away with the Grand Slam, very emotional, you know, very, just great, great memory. And then, obviously, the 2014 win over the Blackburns was another fantastic day out as well. And, yeah, but at the same time, you know, when you look back on it, you played 50 times your country in each one of those matches. Left a mark as well, I think.
And 50 caps, as you say, for your country. The World Cup, I suppose, has been highlights as well. This, you played in your third World Cup tournament. That was on in Belfield in Dublin. I suppose great expectations in many ways for that Irish team, but maybe true to say they didn't perform to the standard maybe they expected.
No, and as players, you know, we're extremely disappointed at our results and some of our performances as well. And, you know, I don't think anybody is to blame or anything like that. It's something that you'll have to go back and have a review of it, and you know, everybody gets to give their points. But yeah, hugely disappointing, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of fine margins in each of the games where one small error means we could go from nearly scoring a try ourselves to back defending our own try line, and that's what happens in rugby, and especially at the highest level, you just can't afford to make many mistakes. And unfortunately we made too many of those, but we enjoyed the tournament. It was a good experience for a lot of girls there who will go on and play in many more World Cups, hopefully. You know, quite a lot of young players coming through. So it'll be interesting now to see how they go over the next 4 years in terms of their preparation. And leading into the next World Cup, wherever that may be. But I guess before that, they need to qualify as well for the tournament. So that would be a huge ask in itself, and they do that through the Six Nations and results in those tournaments. So, you know, huge importance placed on every Six Nations now over the next couple of years.
Yeah, you mentioned there, you know, one of the highlights was beating the like of England and New Zealand. One would suggest after the World Cup in Dublin that Ireland have slipped off that standard, that they really have a lot of work to do to get back into the top echelon.
Yeah, possibly, but as I said, you know, some of the reasons we lost were down to just small mistakes that had a huge turning point on the game. I think, like in New Zealand, obviously they grew up playing rugby from a very young age, and it's in their blood, you know, and so when they're on the pitch, they can make split-second decisions where we don't have girls who have been playing as long. Now, that will change over the coming years because we now have more girls who are playing from like the 10 up, and we're starting to see those come through now. You know, a couple of 18-year-olds there who possibly could have got on the World Cup squad and maybe just unlucky in a few selection decisions, but I think that you'll start to see that coming through, and you know, that'll have a huge kind of factor to play in relation to how wide or how narrow the gap is between ourselves and the likes of England and New Zealand that you mentioned.
And is there enough effort being made to bring the ladies rugby to the standard that's required?
I think it's like any female sport, you know, we'll always say that we could give more effort, I suppose, but you know, the AFU, their programs were good. They had a full-time management team in place. Everybody's on full F&C conditioning programs. So I think, you know, there's the backing was there, but as I said, with all female sports, you're always going to need more and you're always going to ask for more.
So what's next for Nora Stapleton in the sporting line and indeed maybe in the work situation?
I'll continue to work for, continue on in my work with Fire, if you and I, you know, I still enjoy developing women's rugby around the country, and I still find it is a huge challenge, but it's a very enjoyable one as well. In terms of rugby, I'm going to keep playing with club. You know, I haven't broken down yet, I still have a few miles left in the leg, so, but I think it's just about enjoying rugby now and not feeling that you have to perform to be selected in every single club game that you play as well. You know, I'm looking forward to just going out and playing for the fun of it and hanging out with my teammates more.
Well, Nora, it's been a pleasure speaking to you over the last number of years, and I'm sure not the end of speaking to you now, but congratulations on the 50 caps and continued success in your career.
Thanks, Miles, and thanks as always for the support you've given myself anyway and the rest of